Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. With these words, I welcome you to the first service of Trinity Term. Like Trinity Term itself, this service is in a new form. We can't gather together in the college chapel. But nonetheless, we are here today to take time from the busyness of our lives to reflect and to think, to reconnect with each other as we are scattered across the world because of this coronavirus. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. These words have been used for centuries to herald in Eastertide. They have been proclaimed in cathedrals and in churches, in chapels, in hospital settings, on ships and in the open air. They've been said in times of famine and of war, in times of plenty and of joy, and today they're proclaimed in uncertain times and online. But nonetheless, they are being proclaimed, and that is important. That is what we celebrate at Eastertide, the sense of hope out of despair, of joy out of sadness, a possibility out of devastation, of new beginnings. This service too is a new endeavour. Parts of it have been recorded in our homes. Some of the music is taken from the choir's recording library. Other pieces have been recorded, edited and spliced together especially for this service. I want to thank everyone who has contributed to the production of this. There is an order of service which accompanies it, so you can find the text and the information to follow the service. But please do use this as best you see. This is offered to you to bring hope and joy, to reconnect us and to inspire us in these peculiar, in these disorientating, but also in these exciting and new times.
Arisen, 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 arisen.
for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people and has compassion on those who suffer. Let us pray. O Lord of all life and power, who through the mighty resurrection of thy Son, Jesus Christ, didst overcome the old order of sin and death. All things are made new through Christ, and in his light do we see light, a light which cannot be extinguished, and which guides us into faith and hope and love. As we embark on a new and unknown term, we pray that the light of the resurrection may illumine our works, that the hope of the resurrection may steady us in our fears, and that the joy of the resurrection may sustain us in our anxieties. As our Saviour Christ has taught, we are bold to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. Rise, heart, thy Lord is risen. Sing his praise without delays, who takes thee by the hand, that thou likewise with him mayst rise. That as his death calcined thee to dust, his life may make thee gold, and much more just. Awake, my lute, and struggle for thy part with all thy art. The cross taught all wood to resound his name, who bore the same. His stretched sinews taught all strings what key is best to celebrate this most high day. Consort both heart and lute, and twist a song pleasant and long. Or, since all music is but three parts vied and multiplied, O let thy blessed spirit bear a part, and make up our defects with his sweet art.
George Herbert's poem Easter encapsulates the energy and the joy of this season. He sees Easter as transforming us from dust into gold. And in honour of this transformation, we are to sing and to make music. Herbert writes, "Sing his praises without delay." And so the choir responds to this with an excerpt from Brahms' Requiem, sung in concert in London in February of this year. They sing words from Psalm 84. O how amiable are thy dwellings, thou Lord of hosts! My soul hath a desire and a longing to enter into the courts of the Lord. My flesh and my soul rejoice in the living God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They shall be always praising thee.
Thank you. A reading from the first letter of St. Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, ye believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Here endeth the lesson.
God's redeeming work is done, fought and fought the battle won. Lost souls in his peace are, Lord is the sin but no more. In the stone that washed the sea, Christ has passed the gates of hell. Death in
Gospel of St. John. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the crowds, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Here endeth the lesson.
We join the small group of terrified people locked in a back room on Easter evening. They're in hiding for fear of their lives. Their friend, their leader, was executed as a political criminal. Jerusalem, where they're hiding, wasn't a safe place to live in. Growing nationalism and growing resentment against the Roman occupation was often exacerbated at the time of Passover. Perhaps they felt that there was some safety in being locked away in an upper room. And in that room, I'm sure they were wondering whether it was worth giving up secure jobs and family life, communities and all that they knew, to follow this guy who turns out to be little more than a terrorist. Or perhaps too they were ashamed of having run away from him, of having deserted or having denied knowing him. So much for their now empty claims of standing by him, whatever might happen. Or some of them may be confused because they heard a report that Mary Magdalene had seen him alive, that she had spoken with him in a garden that morning. Into the midst of all of this confusion, of this doubt, of this lack of knowing, of this lack of being in control, Jesus appears. And the first words he says to his friends are, Peace be unto you. Peace. Peace be unto you. The risen Christ does not say, Why did you deny me, Peter? Or why did you run away from the foot of the cross? Or Thomas, why do you doubt me? No, the risen Christ doesn't say anything like that. Instead, he says, Peace. Peace. Peace be unto you. I find this scene one of the most reassuring yet also challenging tableau in the Bible. Peace is God's gift to us. Peace sustains us because it frees us from fear and anxiety. Peace enables us to think more clearly and thus to be in control of our actions. And it goes without saying that peace is something we all the world over need today. We need peace because we are about to embark on a new term, where very little is as we had expected. We need peace because millions are getting ill, and many are dying because of this virus. We need peace because we've had our freedom of movement taken away. We need peace because we're not in control. We need peace because of fear. We need peace because of the uncertainty the present circumstances impose upon us. That's why I've chosen this reading from the first Easter evening with Christ's words of peace, peace be with you. Because it is my hope that we can somehow, and in our different circumstances, find some peace. I think that would be a very good thing. And the peace that Christ gives to his disciples comes with no conditions. As I said, he doesn't say, why did you deny me or why did you doubt me? Instead, in the midst of their confusion, he appears and says, peace. This peace is without condition. This is a peace that sustains, that nurtures, that embraces us as we are, as we try and find new ways of living, as we try to overcome our fears, to find ways of having meaning and purpose and understanding in our lives. But this upper room is also a challenging scene. It is challenging because here in this room full of fear, here are the beginnings of the church. It is because of those people in that room on the first Easter night that we are listening and participating in this service. It is through these scared and weak and bewildered people that God chooses them to spread God's message of transformation, of hope, of love, of resurrection throughout the world. And what is remarkable, within 20 years of this evening, of this event, there are churches in many of the major cities of the Roman Empire, in Corinth, in Rome, and Ephesus. Now, of course, these churches didn't have Gothic arches or Romanesque windows. That's at least 1,000 years away. But what these early churches were groups of people coming together to listen to the teachings of the risen Christ, to try and understand how his way of living transformed their lives, how through Christ all things were made new. And that appealed to many people in the early days, and perhaps it appeals to us too. Because the origins of the church, the origins of what we're doing, are not totally dissimilar to the lockdown many of us find ourselves in today. But also, like our forebears, like Thomas and Peter and Mary Magdalene, we are not sitting still and doing nothing in our rooms. I've been amazed, I've been impressed and been inspired at how people have responded to this pandemic. Not just all the stories we hear in the news of aged veterans walking up and down their garden and raising millions of pounds, but also closer to home, of how the JCR and their welfare reps and peer supporters have been organising music nights and quizzes or welfare teas, or how there are plans afoot to make exam carnations and send them out to finalists. Even that this very service is taking place, that you're able to hear it, is because of the enthusiasm of many to make it work and to try and convince me that this would be a good thing to do. And I'm very glad that they have. The themes of Easter are joy and hope, transformation and resurrection. But these aren't just tied into Easter bunnies laying chocolate eggs, nor debates about whether Jesus really physically did rise from the dead. That is all secondary. From the peace that Christ gives to his lockdown, terrified friends, comes endless potential. What transformation, what's resurrection, what Easter really means is new life from the old, new and exciting ways of living, new possibilities of being. And that is something which all of us face, all of us are given as a gift, even if we do not quite see it as such at the moment. But we all have the opportunity to transform our own lives, to bring about new hope, to bring about new ways of living and understanding what we do. And that is at the core of Easter. That is at the core of the kingdom of God. That is at the core of what the whole idea of faith and Christianity is about. New and exciting transformations, new opportunities, soaring to new heights. The anthem which we are about to hear has been especially recorded for this service. Individual singers have sung along at home, sent in their recordings, which have been blended and edited and tweaked by the organ scholar. They sing Thomas Tallis's If Ye Love Me. Tallis was a Tudor composer who lived through a period of huge political, theological, economic turmoil. He clung on to his Catholic faith whilst also serving the emerging Protestant church. And the anthem, If You Love Me, is one of hope. It's one which says that through the sending of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth, as it's called in this text, is through the sending of that we are given support and sustenance, the Comforter, to get on and live our lives. And so as the choir sings this anthem, may it be a prayer for all of us, a prayer of support and sustenance as new possibilities are imagined and realized.
Let us pray. In this time of fear, uncertainty, and isolation, we pray for God's all-encompassing peace. O God of peace, who has taught us that in returning and rest we shall be saved, and in quietness and confidence shall be our strength, by the might of your Spirit, lift us, we pray, to your presence, where we may be still and know that you are God. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for our college community, for our work and studies at the beginning of this new term, that despite our distancing, we may share together in the discipline and delight of learning. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, without whose help all labour is useless, without whose light all exploration is in vain, invigorate our studies and direct our learning, that with due diligence and right discernment, we may establish ourselves and one another in your holy faith. Take not, O Lord, your Holy Spirit from us. Let not evil thoughts have dominion in our minds. Let us not linger in ignorance, but enlighten and support us for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We remember for God's blessing all our friends whose company we miss, those who are an encouragement to us and those to whom we can bring comfort and cheer. That the God of all love, who is a source of our affection for each other formed here, may take our friendships into his own keeping, that they may continue and increase throughout this life and in all eternity. Amen. Let us pray now for the countless people working hard to support individuals and communities at every level of our society. And let us thank God for the skills of health professionals and carers and the ingenuity of medical researchers. Gracious God, give skill, sympathy, and resilience to all who are caring for the sick. And your wisdom to those searching for new treatments. Strengthen them with your Spirit, that through their work many will be restored to health through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And for all who are struggling at this time, physically, mentally, personally or professionally in this crisis, we pray. Watch thou, dear Lord, with those who wake or watch or weep this night, and give thine angels charge over those who sleep. Tend thy sick ones, Lord Christ. Rest thy weary ones. Bless thy dying ones. Soothe thy suffering ones. Pity thine afflicted ones. Shield thy joyous ones, and all for thy love's sake. Amen. So may God lift up our hearts in this Easter season. May God surprise us with the joy of the risen Christ. May God lead us in grace and goodness, that we might be agents of hope in our troubled world. All our prayers we bring together in the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all evermore. Amen.
The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of the God of love, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, rest, abide, and remain with you now and for evermore. Amen.
The Lord preserve your going out and your coming in. Alleluia, alleluia. From this time forth and forevermore. Alleluia, Alleluia.